Hello, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter today, our paradigm shifters today, are kind of favorites. We haven't spoken to them for a while, but we're going to talk with Terry Simons, who channels Lord Ashtar. She's also known as Lady Ashtar, and he's a wonderful, wonderful coalescence of beings. Or is he one being? Well, Terry, welcome to the show, and straighten me out before I confuse the issue here.
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. It's just a real blessing to be able to speak to the public this way. I'm so blessed.
And I'm really glad to catch up with you because it's been a long time, and it's time.
Yes, yes, it has been a while. But yes. As we know, time is neither here nor there. We're in a timeless state if we allow it to be. So
right,
there's perfection.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. And is Ashtar a collection of beings or is he one being?
As I channel him, he comes from the 11th dimensional ascended mastery. He is an ascended master. He mm-hmm. comes from love. He is a part of the collective consciousness, and so therefore he does come from the collective, and he can bring any information from any of those that sit in the collective as masters or any others. I will have him as a gatekeeper. He brings through all kinds of family members, other ascended masters. He even brings through a horse, a cat, a dog once in a while. And so it's really he, as the ascended master, comes through me as a gatekeeper. And then from there, everything opens up.
Oh, my. Now, he is, his main teaching is about love, is it not?
That's true, yes. He is the ambassador of love and peace.
Love and
peace, yes.
And how long have you been working with him? How long have you been learning and guiding with him?
Well, I know that he's been with me for many lifetimes, as I've learned over time that this is a contract I made, a vow I made with him way, way back in my light beingness. But for this lifetime, I have been working with him as his channel for about 23 years now.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet you've found your whole life has changed, has it? Of course, obviously, but I mean inside, your growing is very, very steady, is it not?
Yes, the presence of light and I want to say my state of ascension has gradually, comfortably grown. I think a lot of people are looking for ascension and they're looking for the great pow, you know, I'm there. And I think that if we allow ourselves to walk the path with those that guide us, we find that we arrive in our perfect right state as we move along. So yes, things have shifted, things have changed. I've had a lot of wonderful life experiences, and I know that Spirit, Ashtar being a great part of that, has guided me along that amazing journey.
Well, now you've been going to Japan on a great regular basis, have you not?
I have. I'm coming up to my 11th trip. I'm in the States 3 months. I'm in Japan 3 months, and that just switches back and forth. So I've been going for 5 years now, coming up on my sixth, and at this point, no end in sight. We're excited. Ashtar.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Also, one more question before we ask mm-hmm. Ashtar if he'll come in. Is what is Japan going through with all the Fukushima experience and trauma? What is going on? You don't have to answer the whole thing, of course, but what's your experience been?
Well, with Fukushima, obviously there's concern about the radiation and what are they going to do with the plant that, you know, it's got some serious problems. Mm-hmm. It's not a Band-Aid fix. This is going to take some major corrections, and they're very aware of that. But for the most part, the major concern is there going to be another big earthquake? And a lot of people down in the Tokyo area are very concerned that they're going to have a major earthquake. And should that be the case, that close to Fukushima, it could cause some damage. So I hear people concerned about if there's another earthquake, what would happen to that particular plant? But for the most part, people are cautious. They're aware of their food and the radiation content. But
how do they check the content? Do they have little meters or?
Well, there's the government has put out labels on food. And if you know how to read it, you know how to determine how much radiation would be in that. I go to the major stores myself so that I'm pretty sure that anything that's coming in, I'm getting good and healthy, safe food. But they know how to read it, and some of them are very, very cautious about it. They drink bottled water and, you know, just we're aware.
And where do they bring the bottled water? They must bring it from a distance, do they?
They do. Some of it comes from Mount Fuji. Some of it comes from the U.S. Mm-hmm. They take it from the springs that are quite distant from that particular plant. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just been something a lot of us have had our hearts filled with, that subject, for all the Japanese people and everybody in the world. But it's close to home for them, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, this is a big subject because this is, you spoke of ascension, and I know many of us are conscious about the shift, and this is all a part of it, isn't it? The shift out of toxicity, the shift out of a consciousness that has been disempowered. Maybe Ashtar is the one to talk to about this, or do you have any thoughts on that before?
Well, I agree that there's a lot of shifts going on. People are waking up. It's really exciting. But let's bring Ashtar in because he has a lot to say on this subject.
Okay. Thanks very much, Carrie. It's wonderful to talk to you.
Oh, and such a joy to visit with you as well, Veronica. I look forward to these opportunities where we can share wonderful information with so many people and, of course, a friendship. So let's bring Carrie in. If you'll give me just a moment, he'll come in. Well, my little one, a beautiful blessing it is for you. In the states of love and light, oh, my little one, the blessings are many.
How wonderful to have you here on the show as doing paradigm shifting as usual, aren't you?
Oh, yes, it is. It is a very grand opportunity. You see, in that of your world, there are many that are rather stuck, and as it is, they have the opportunity to hear the vibrational sounds that you present and that it is that I will bring. It will cause for that of many to feel that rumbling within that says, I must start a new journey.
Well, we're all up for that. What is ascension? We used to think ascension meant we would do liftoff, and I don't think it means that anymore. We were fairly naive. And the other thing is, what's going on with the shift? They're probably kind of similar, aren't they?
Well, it is true. Let's begin by saying that the beautiful earth plane, as it is that you live upon, it is in its present period where it is wanting to move into its fifth dimensional state. It's currently in its third. When it is that you go through the process of ascension, it's much like going through a spiritual enlightenment, so that it is that you would find yourselves at the 12th level and you would be considered an ascended master. As it is that you come into that form, it's very important to walk the path of ascension. So as Earth is wanting to move into the fifth ascension so that her natural utopic state would be in a beautiful essence of true utopia, and long ago it is that humans were saying, create heaven upon Earth, and that's what the fifth ascension will be. So as it is that Earth wants to move into that energy, Gaia and Mother Earth, they're moving in this way, it is very, very important for humanity to recognize they play a role. And the role of which it is that they would find themselves in is that they, too, will start their process. Some have already begun. As it is that they move into the ascension, they find themselves more and more in curiosity about greater, shall we say, philosophical purposes. As it is that you move through ascension, recognizing we're working toward that of spiritual enlightenment and enlightenment for some, it will bring the opportunity, not a liftoff. It's not a to ascend like you will all leave Earth, because Earth is going to become that space of heaven. And it is going to become a time where the great cities of light will secure themselves. They're anchored, but they are going to secure themselves upon the Earth plane. And imagine how grand that will be. So as it is that this beautiful spiritual expansion is taking place, humanity needs to follow that path.
Is it heaven on earth? You know how we keep hearing about the two earths, the new earth, the old earth and the new earth? Do you see any correlation between what you're saying and those rumored successes?
And I'm going to say, you chuckle how grand it is you are. And so it is. There is that, I would say, in a correlation between the new and old earth. My little one, there is a lot of fear put out there. Humanity is the fields of fear. It is a heyday for so many, because it is that it puts the finances into the pocket. And I would say to you, is Earth going to multiply? No, she is one planet. Is she going to go to a place where there's a good side and a bad side? Not exactly that. I wouldn't say that as we go into this utopic state of the fifth dimension. What will happen is this. Two planets. Right, let's back up to that. In that sense that there's going to be a two-planet system, that is not true. When Earth moves into the fifth dimension, it will become an enlightened state, a dimensional state of Earth, where she will become in her perfect utopic state. So what's going to happen? As humanity starts their process and they begin, as I refer to the ascension process, they begin to move into their enlightened state, they are going to be in a position that they are going to pull the energy of Earth. Well, those that are left behind are those that are going to be the mischief makers and trying to hold everything down into its current state. As time moves on, more and more are going to understand, as it always is, one leads another, which leads another, and soon you have all in the beautiful place of grand enlightenment. This is going to take many years. It could take 2,000 years.
Oh my.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't begin now. And so as you, as humanity, begin your process and you grow and you recognize that spirit is within and that you can reach to God in the universe and bring that universal presence within and start to become the, shall we say, all of you, the ambassadors of God. Now imagine the love that would take place. Wouldn't that be grand?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? So are you saying some people can do this already, and some might choose a slower process, like 2,000 years?
That's true. And those that are currently in the process and or in their state of mastery, they're the teachers, they're the leaders, they're the ones that are out there that are drawing in the groups, they're drawing in individuals, and they're bringing them into their state of enlightenment. And I'm going to say whether it's a philosophical or a religious or a state of true empowerment. Because if there is empowerment through that of the philosophical beliefs that you carry, and I'm going to use that word rather than religion, because religion gets very heavy, you will find that if they are in their philosophical states of belief, and if they are believing in the good and rightness of mankind and how they can embrace Earth as she grows into her God-goddess state, my little one, it's so grand. So yes, there are those out there that are already in this state of awareness.
So is it true that those ones who are already in the state of awareness can't actually be seen or perceived by those who are not? Is that a possibility?
To some degree, there's truth to that. But the reality is, if you are going, as humans, if you are going to be in a space where it is that you want to be the teachers and the guides and you want to assist people toward each individual toward their greatest and best light, their own personal light, you must be human. Although some of you will find yourself studying religions, or that will be studying the philosophies of those that have transcended transferred their energies into a more light space like Christ or Buddha or some of these others. They have moved into a, shall we say, etheric state. Therefore, they are unseen. But for that of the purpose of humanity, most of you are looking for a physical form by which it is that you can connect. And that's one of the reasons I come through the little one. Because in coming through her, I'm able to connect on a physical level, even though you could all contact me and you can all bring me and my wisdom along. That's true with all the grand masters. You would find yourself in a presence that you might be looking for a medium or channel that would allow for the messages to come through on a more human level so that it's more tangible. So there is both that of the etheric energies and the tangible physical energy.
Mm-hmm. That really leaves me thinking about an awful lot of things, of course. That's my nature. But when I look at the world is in a rather interesting state of, I won't call it chaos, although some do, but like the food is a danger. The water's in danger. The animals are in danger. Overpopulation is a problem. If we get into a higher realm within ourselves, does that shift? Does that reality shift? You know, change the energy, change the reality. Does that reality shift and become healing?
Yes, it does. When you look at those that are in this, and I'm going to use the word ascended reality. Those that are in that reality, they don't struggle with these things. They're aware, and I would say, you know, do not be the ostrich. Don't put your head in the sand. But find yourself with the awareness of what's happening in your world, absolutely. Be aware of the food. Be aware of the communities. Help those that need help. It's very important to give of yourself as it is that you receive. But as you are in your process of growth and understanding, yes, the elements that are struggling, food, water, air, etc., you will find yourselves being very comforted in that there is not such a lack for you individually.
So it is back to attraction, right? You're in a vibrational realm where it's not an issue?
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. As it is that you are in the reality of your own personal growth, then the reality of these, shall we say, negatives, allow them to become positives. You are attracting what you believe.
So I want to ask you this. I was thinking yesterday, I went, well, I wonder if this food, for example, is really toxic, can just shifting the energy within it make it very healing for me, for example? Just can we heal our food in such a way?
Within reason, yes. Some foods are truly toxic. They are, you would say, poison. You would not want to consume them. But, and by food, I'm referring to some of the fruits, the vegetables, the ground cover. It would not be wise for you to consume. And if it is that you have allergies to any variety of food substances, whether it's your lactose or your gluten or the nuts that some of you find very ill-causing, do not go into that. You are genetically predestined to have some of these problems. However, on
that means we're GMO'd, right?
That's true, my little one. I do like it. Yes, you are. That is very, very true. And so it is. Oh, it is a grand statement. But however, I will say this. That as it is that you are looking at the food sources that you know that your physical body can tolerate, and if it is that you are concerned about whether it's radiation or pesticides and herbicides, you can transform that through thought and through that of the energetic work that you might do, whether you are choosing to use Qigong, Reiki, or any of these other beautiful energies that you can put into the foods that sit before you that you're about to consume. You will find that it will shift their vibration, it will shift their energy, and the toxins will become, primarily, the toxins will become encased so that it will be eliminated rather than consumed by your body, digested. So you can use some of this. As you are a light presence, that light is all that can be fed into the physical form. I don't mean go sit in front of the sun like some of you wish to worship. I don't mean that it is that you are going to simply meditate your way into health and wellness by only accepting God's light. That's all good. But you do need to consume water and food, and that's the nature of your physical form. So by blessing your food in the way that it is you wish, whether it's prayer, meditation, energy work, you can transform it so that it becomes a substance that will support your physical form.
Wonderful. So now we know that you're over in Japan. I know you're probably in many levels of existence at all times, but being with Terry or Lady Ashtar in the physical form, going to Japan regularly, many of us immediately want to know how you perceive Fukushima and the incredible radiation and so on, and how can we help over there, and what are they doing to help? And I think Terry was talking about ginkgo biloba trees, which are a natural force to offset radiation that are plentiful in Japan. Is that right?
Yes, that's very true. After that, the great bombs of your World War II, the government planted many of these particular trees, and for the general purpose of exhausting radiation in the air. And so they will absorb it, and they will refine it so that doesn't cause a problem to the tree, and it provides good and fresh air. So it's a very, very important plant. The many of that of your beautiful population of Japan, they are very concerned with radiation. They're very concerned with the plant of Fukushima. And so there is a lot of consideration of what is taking place there. There are areas that are the no man land, as you would say, you cannot go. There's areas that are considered unsafe, but people will reside there. And there's areas that are very safe. So it really is, as in any particular parcel of land you would find yourself, looking to areas that would be considered more, shall we say, inhabitable. So you will find that there are more that would be moving into the south, or perhaps even into the northwest, because it would be that the general winds would blow in that direction so that they would not be so traumatized. However, yes, there is some concern, and it's still there. It's very much in the atmosphere as well as the water. But there is a lot of safeguards that are being put into place so that people are not quite as, shall we say, in shock about it. There's more intellectual activity that's going on. It's still very present. We are working. The angels have come in to surround. We're working very hard with those of the scientists and that of the government to assist them in making decisions that will bring this plant to a, shall we say, healthy standard.
I was wondering also, because you're of different dimensions, I was wondering if we couldn't have some beings from other existences or other, what we're calling aliens, you know, come in and do something from their perspective that would be able to either pluck the poison out or heal it or encapsulate it or something.
Well, the aliens have come.
Okay.
It's far-fetched in that of your terms, not in my terms. The aliens have come, the extraterrestrials. There have been many sightings, and Japan is a very, very powerful area of UFO and ET sightings. Many, many of the Japanese will come to me with pictures and all kinds of information that they are really striving to understand and more about. So it's very, very evident and well received. The problem being that if a UFO were to land or to hover over that particular plant, there would be so much, on your terms, earthly fear that would rise up from it, that it makes it difficult for us to come in and really assist you, because your inclination as humans is to blow us up rather than, and although you really can't, we don't want to create such fear that you run in chaos.
And but it's interesting, because as far as fear, it's being created on a massive level on the media level, you'd think they'd be just relieved to see that we have something beyond that would help, you know, rather than being terrified, you know.
Well, that's true, and that is from where we come. However, in your, not just your media such as the press, but in that of your films and your social events, you've created great chaos around and fear around the idea of extraterrestrials. We do not come in your medias, meaning your cinemas, we do not, or that of your sci-fi of all variety, we never come through your imagination as that of beings of peace. Almost always we come as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now this is in your pleasure states. Well, if you believe that we are coming as a threat and we are going to be great spiders that are going to eat you, my little ones, there's no way that it is that we can come and show ourselves as two-legged, two-armed, two-eyed, etc., because we can resemble you. We just go through a shift pattern, and we can, you say, shape-shifting in that of the Native American way. We can shape-shift. And so we can shift into your own presence, and that's what we've done. Mm-hmm. When it is that it's necessary for us to come into your planetary system, we will shift into a human form. Once in a while, we will shift into an animal form only because it is that you so adore the domestic varieties. Mm-hmm. But it is that we will shift and we will assist you. Well, that's what's happening, but part of the issue with whether it's some of the wars and some of the warring nations or that of something as dramatic as Fukushima, there's such a resistance to anyone that's new that everyone is afraid of the new person. That so we have some real energies to work with. On an etheric level, we are doing a lot of presenting of thoughts and ideas, you would say channeling. We are allowing the channels to the scientists to open up so that it would be that they can receive your Nobel Prizes and such for the purpose of the decontamination of water, the correction of such of these events, and can bring about a better world for which, a safer world for which you can live.
I love that idea. Also, some years back, this is just a little sidebar here. Some years back on Larry King Live, when he was still on Maine TV, there was a testing of missiles, and there was literally a clip of a UFO coming in and interfering with that missile so it wouldn't go off.
Yes.
And some of us saw it, and it was taken off. You can't find it anywhere on the internet.
Oh, no. Or,
but that was real, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
that's the sort of thing I think is great PR, you know.
Well, and it's very sad that you're so afraid of us that you can't allow it to be seen.
Yes.
Because it's fear.
Yeah.
We show ourselves regularly. Crop circles, most of your crop circles are due to that of extraterrestrial activity.
Wow.
But because you have such fear involved revolving around the potential of our power, because that's what you see. You see us as omnipotent power. You can't possibly fight us, as it would mm-hmm. be said. That would not be our intent. Mm-hmm. Any of us would come with that of the purpose and the sole purpose of assisting Earth. We would intend to assist humanity. We would not cause harm. We would not cause disasters. Oh, we have the Greys, and they're a different group, but they really are not intending to do harm. The key is that, yes, we do come, and there are times where in that situation we will show ourselves so that we will show you that we are here to provide Earth a safety net.
Mm-hmm. I really believe so much in that, and I know a lot of people that do as well. I wonder if the powers that be still shield us for the sake of maintaining their own power quite a bit, and keep the fear going, because I feel like some of the people in politics and power actually know the advantages of some of these beings who live off of the third dimension. But they don't want us to know because it might take away their potency. Is that right?
Well, there's truth to that. But there's also this. In the world, as a politician, all throughout the world, if they started in their campaigns talking about how they talk to extraterrestrials, how they've seen the UFOs, how they're very much a part of the ufology. If they started talking that way, my little one, they would be run out of town.
Mm.
You're not ready as a human body, meaning the group of you. You're not ready to talk in that way. Any of the philosophies that involve extraterrestrials, UFOs, etc., any of the philosophies that involve that are seen to be cults. They're seen to be off track, insanity, etc., etc. And so it's very, very important for politicians to come from the mainstream of philosophies. Mm-hmm. If they come from mainstream, now they can get this group behind them that has the money to support them and make their play. If they then go back into a philosophy, whether it's Christianity and their belief in the Bible or the Quran or that of following a Judaism belief system, they will be seen in such a way. And those are common philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a philosophy that involves ETs and extraterrestrials, they would find themselves being called all kinds of names that would require insanity. Mm-hmm. And so they would not be able to achieve their goal. Your citizenry throughout the world is not ready for this.
Hmm. Are we going to be ready?
There will come a time when we will be welcome, received visibly and etherically.
Will it be 1,000 years or 20
or
minutes?
More.
Oh,
or more?
No.
Yes, it's going to take time. You have some citizenry, mostly it's tribal, where it is that to have recognition of the extraterrestrials is very common and very well accepted, but they tend to come from that of an innocent state where it is they've not been contaminated with that of modern belief systems.
So in our DNA, do we have a lot of extraterrestrial material, don't we?
Oh, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. One example would be that in the time that Venus was destroyed, the inhabitability of Venus, it was destroyed. As Venusians, we were quite able to handle the Earth atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Many landed and remained on Earth. It was important to find a planet in which to live upon. Mm-hmm. Well, as it was, it becomes the very honest recognition that the DNA of that of a Venusian and a human have very close DNA. So it would be that the ability to conceive children with a Venusian and a human, now you have the opportunity to bring that DNA forward, and there still is a lot of DNA of Venusian qualities blended into the human race.
And so then let's talk for a minute, if you don't mind, about the nature of children being born. Are we breeding children who are a much higher consciousness innately? What is all this about ADD, ADHD, Asperger's, all of those things? What is happening to the human race and homosexuality or fertility problems? You see what I'm seeing here is this whole flow of change in human kind of structure, nerve structure, neurobiological mm-hmm. structure. Do you have anything mm-hmm. to say about that? And I'm sure the radiation doesn't help either.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of truth to all that you're saying. And it's when I look at the children that are being born, that are being conceived and brought in, there's a lot of them that are crystals. Crystals are those that come without karma. So these are children that are coming to assist the Earth. They're coming to bring Earth into balance. There are the indigos. The indigos are coming for the purpose of changing Earth. Earth mm-hmm. is a series or network of human strands, if you will. And having said that, what will then transpire with the indigos is they are going to change the systems, whether it's medical or education, political, the list goes on. And so the indigos are going to be making some great strides forward, and they are the ones that appear to be very, very wise a child that's born and you look in their eyes and you just know that they know so much more than you do. And mm-hmm. as it is that they start to teach you about things that they could possibly not know as life on earth, and yet they know these things, they're coming through with, many are coming through with very, very clear memories of lives prior, and most of them are very current in their prior life, where they can remember where the plane went down in the ocean. They can mm-hmm. remember their name from a particular war and be able to do the research and find it. So there's a lot of these that are coming that are far more evolved. Hmm. And these beautiful ones that are coming in are the ones that are really going to change the way humanity thinks.
Well, some of them are angry and disruptive, aren't they?
Well, they're angry because the adults, those in power, are not listening.
Right.
And so they're trying to make a point. They're trying to say, pay attention to me. Look at what I have to offer. This is where I can take you. This is what we can do. But because they're children, they're being taught that they don't know. They mm-hmm. need to be taught to sit in the row and go through the process of education as it is that you know it. Mm-hmm. They're being taught that they can't speak anything other than what they're being shown. And so they do become angry and want to shake people, if you will, and say, wake up, don't you see what's going on? And no, most do not at this point. Although children of like-mindedness, when they're together, they can talk about very deep philosophical thoughts in childlike terms, yes. But it would be very, very interesting for humanity to pay attention to their children, because these are the ones that are going to be making a difference.
And the anger now, that they feel is often at the systems and the corruption and the control issues, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because that's what's taught them that they can't think. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, I can, and I know, and if you pay attention to me, I can teach you great things. And many will become those of the sages and gurus, because that is a place in which they can be received and accepted in their rightness. But those that choose to stay within the norm will find themselves very anxious. Well, mm-hmm. those that are affected with the ADD, the curiosity about ADD is this, that if a child is in a position that they are very active, and children are active, that's how their muscles develop.
Right.
And they're expected to be very adult-like, or they're expected to sit quiet. They're not going to do that. Parents, in particular, in your citizenry, and there are other countries that have like-mindedness, they find themselves wanting children to behave more adult-like. Mm-hmm. They, as adults, you have so much that's going on. Most of you are multiple working, mom and dad work. Children are left to raise themselves, and they don't learn the proper behavior. Parents are teachers. They're not just breeders. And when mm-hmm. parents realize that you like that, and as it is that parents realize that they have a teaching to do, the ADD won't be as dramatic. Yes, there are some that there's a misfire in the brain. But for most ADD children, the parents are not there to parent. They're left with those that take care of children, so they're safe. But they're not parented. And parents need to parent children. I could go on with that for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. But if you watch and you see children that are struggling, but their parents are there, and they are really supporting the children and supporting their education and supporting their needs, whether it's ADD or food allergies or whatever, they'll find themselves in a position that many of those that are being defined as ADD really are not so dramatic. It's simply that the parents don't know what to do. They're busy in their own lives. That then they're given to teachers. The teachers can't have 35 students where it is that there is one that's acting out, et cetera, et cetera. So you medicate them. Mm-hmm. Some of it is involved in that of the genetic nature. And in genetics, you will find that there's a lot of potential within the DNA strand because of things like your toxicities, whether it's the herbicides, pesticides, the additional hormones in food, your GMOs, all of this are shifting the DNA of the human. And as that DNA is being shifted, some of that is causing some of the overactive brain activity, which is causing some of these distresses. that are considered very normal human beings, but they act a bit on. And so there's a whole vital structure there that needs to be assessed as one is assessing a person, and it can be adult, that would be considered as ADD.
Mm-hmm. So you don't see it as a an evolutionary perk in humanity. You see it more of a distortion?
I would say it is a distortion. The good, and there is a good side to this, with ADD, what will happen is the brain's going so fast the body can't keep up. And so those with ADD tend to find themselves overthinking, meaning they will be active doing one thing, they're thinking something else, and then they start to do that, but they miss the middle. So, and that's where the problem is. So they're in this place where they're jumping ahead of themselves all the time. If they were put into programs where they were, such as an Edgar Cayce program as an example, where they had the ability to really pull in that etheric knowledge, because that's what they're doing. In particular, as children, they're drawing on these higher wisdoms, and their brain is overactive, and so the body can't keep up with it. And if they could be trained to see the process, they would be in a position that you would have many geniuses. Many.
So then I'm looking at an interesting concept here. I'm going, okay, so the whole collective of humanity has this edge of evolution going on, right? If we look at it as one, right?
Yes.
Do you see it rising above war, for example? Rising above killing one another?
Yes, absolutely.
Because murder seems to be an all-time high as far as entertainment and retribution goes these days, doesn't it?
It is. And again, I will go back to that of the media by which it is, I would say that whether it's your games or your films or your press, you become numb to it. Well,
yeah.
Once it was horrific, now it is just, and in that of your film industry, you find yourselves having to one-up the next one. So you can't just have one person that simply died. Now you have to show all the gore that goes with it, and pretty soon it's got to be 10 or 12 in order to make an impact. So you're becoming numb to it.
Is it possible for humans to actually band together enough to change that flow into something more conducive to evolution? Because I always believe that the media itself has the ability to help enlighten everyone, to help raise consciousness beyond, even as far as growing food, you know?
Well, there's truth to that, absolutely. And the media can play a very, very big role in this, where they can, in fact, I will even go so far as to say indoctrinate a healthier lifestyle. But as it is that is true, one of the issues that takes place is what's going to sell and how do you do this so that it will sell. And that becomes where the issue or the line is drawn in terms of what the different industries can provide. People are curious, and you have had some film groups that have created some very strong evidence about what's going on in politics, what's going on with the farming industry, what's going on.
Oh, yeah, some wonderful ones.
They've awakened many, many eyes and many intelligences, which is good. But at the same time, what's selling in the box office? And that's where most of your filming industry will be focused. Now, saying all of that, yes, the media does have the potential to make great change. Whether it's the music you're listening to or what you're watching or the books you're reading, you have the potential to make great, great change. And the work that you're doing is an example. In time, humans will become more and more advanced. And as they advance in their ascension process, and as Earth comes into its higher level of ascended state, it will be that there will be less and less of this destructive nature. You'll find that the closer you come to the ascended state, the less these destructive activities will be considered a fond energy. And that's really important, because as that becomes a opportunity for all of you to see and recognize that you have the potential to be in peace and harmony. All of you want that. A newborn child comes in and you see that beautiful love in their mind, their heart, their eyes, their beingness, their innocence. And you're trained into a lifestyle, and some of you are trained into a lifestyle that would be considered for that of the benefit of all good. So as you are coming into this ascended state upon earth, you're in a beautiful place where you are opening up many, many doors and bringing opportunities of peace, love, coexistence. You're bringing the opportunity of harmony, where it is that humanity will find themselves in a place where your differences will become your likeness, and your likenesses will become your curiosities, so that you will be in an opportunity to experience differences as a positive and being seen.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. So what would you say about the world monetary system at that point? Will money change its rapport with people, the 1% versus the 99%, the poor versus the people who have it all, that sort of thing?
Yes, it will change.
And it, will it change as part of that same consciousness? How will it change? Can you see?
It will change as a part of that same consciousness. That's correct. You will always have a bartering system. And one of the things that money does is it creates an equitable marketing system. Or bartering, excuse me, a bartering system. And so most of you see money as the great evil. But if you recognize that you put your energy in, whether you're growing plants or you're a manufacturing job, you're putting energy into that. You receive something in paper or coin that generally defines how much energy you put into it. Now you take that and you need something that someone else has. So you can take that amount of energy that was defined by a denomination on a piece of paper, and you take it to someone that has what you need, and you barter with it. The issue of bartering in your world has been that if I need an apple and I have an orange, you can exchange, and now you've bartered. That's true. But not everybody needs a housekeeper, and not everybody needs a new car. Sometimes you need a cow. And so you're in a position that this idea of bartering objects doesn't work so well. You can barter energy, and if energy is put into an equal denomination or currency, now you're in a position that you can get what you need without having to go down to the farmer to buy the cow with the potatoes that you have to take to the person that needs the cow. So it becomes an easier form of bartering. The key to using currency is that your governments can monitor your currency very, very closely, whether you're using gold, silver, or that you would consider to be paper. And so your governments can monitor it, and that's where most of the issues come with the idea of currency. If you recognize it as a bartering system, then you're in a position that you can create the world that you want to live in.
Well, we don't see it as a bartering system in that they tell us that we have huge debts, and they are way beyond our ability to put substance into the numbers of the dollars of our debt. And I keep thinking, well, at some point it's going to have to crash, or does it? Are we just going to transform that like we do with food and poison things? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yes. There is going to be a transformation to a certain degree. You do show me that in your particular government where there is such a high debt that with the right political structure, you will be able to put yourself into a more comfortable position. You're on an individual level with currency. You are going to work, you earn your money, you come home, you've received this currency. Of course, your government wants part of that. The key to your governmental debt isn't that it is something that you've done. It's how it is that they have managed the house of politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I'm going to say to all humans, as you are looking to the process of creating a political system, you really need to look at how do they keep their own house in order. Because if you kept your financial house in that order, most mm-hmm. of you would find yourself imprisoned.
Yeah, see, that's a very interesting thing that you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So as you are looking to the political structure and you're coming up to the time where you're going to be voting and doing all of this, really look at them and say, how do they manage their own? How quick mm-hmm. are they to throw money away? How much do they have to throw away? And mm-hmm. and because it is your, in your particular case, the tax dollars that they take from you is for that of the purpose of your own good and welfare, so they tell you. So you mm-hmm. have to ask, how do they spend their money? Is it for the welfare of humanity? Or is it for that of their own pocketbook to be sure they are voted once more in? So the situation of currency, the situation of monies in your world is really based upon, as I look at politics, it's based upon that of how to get from point A to point B, in other words, to be reelected. And they mm-hmm. will spend the money accordingly instead of for that of the well-being and welfare of humanity.
Well, do you see that changing? Do you think we can evolve beyond that?
Yes, I do. I know you will.
Good.
You will evolve. You will evolve beyond that. On the political structure, there will always be those that are trying to do their best to assist in creating a world that's more livable.
Right.
However, there's going to be less fraud because you will be able to see through it, because on a telepathic level, more of you will become your pineal gland will become more enlarged as you develop. And as you do, you're going to become more and more, well, psychic or telepathic. And because of that, there's going to be less potential for fraud.
Wonderful. Unfortunately, I have to end this, and I would really love it if you would come back on, maybe in a month or two, or when you come back from Japan.
It would be my honor to do so, my little one. You're
this has
beautiful,
been wonderful.
Beautiful, delightful energy where it is that we can share the opportunity of wisdom and love. For through universal love, all things are possible. And it begins in the hearts of each of you. For as each of you finds the warm place, that spark of light that is the essence of you, and you allow that light to grow, your ascension process begins. And it illuminates, whether it is your own individual, a room, a country, your world, your universe. Each of you has the potential to ignite that spark within and let it shine so bright that only greatness in a positive form will come. It is an honor to sit and visit with you. And yes, it would be an honor to return. My blessings to you, my little one.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord Ashtar. And thank you so much, Lady Ashtar, wonderful Terry Simons. Thank you.
It is our honor to sit with you. A blessing. A blessing for all of you. Andante,
you.
My little ones.
Andante.